We'll listen to a hymn this morning. Turn our thoughts unto the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. That's something really to contemplate about our Lord. Take our hymnals this morning and turn to page number 350. Come ye my people. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. Number 350. Come ye my people.
Got one more of these. Thank you.
350. Come ye my people. You can stand if you like.
Safe and heavenly. just come repenting on Jesus, depending, receive God's salvation so great. Oh, come ye my people and rest for a season, for God's wrath you never shall see. When stars start to falling on rocks, men are calling, you'll be safe and
it's good to be together. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to have our brother Reagan back with us. And we miss our brother Hal today. He's off taking a friend to the airport in Jacksonville. So we'll pray for their safe travels. On that note, I guess I'll take a look at our prayer list. Let me see. Today would be some 14th to 22. Continue to remember our brothers in the ministry and our sister churches around the world. Our friends, the Ellises in Ireland, Brother Hansard in Georgia, Brother Hyde with him, Brother Settlemeyer, Brother Williamson, who's been a friend for many years, Brother Green, though I've never actually met either of them in the flesh, we've been close friends, I would say, for many years. So maybe Brother Williamson and Brother Green both before there was much kind of internet stuff or email stuff going on even, but we corresponded. Brother Henson in Texas. Pray for our dear brother Leon King in Alaska. He has some sort of thing going on, and they thought it was he had to see a pulmonologist, and he was having breathing issues, and then they think it's maybe gastrointestinal issues, and that he has a hiatal hernia, and then he went in for a procedure, and I don't know exactly what happened there. He posted another thing, and it's like, they call it practicing medicine, because these guys are practicing, and most of them aren't very good. But anyway, sometimes you just have to put yourself in their hands, I guess. But his latest post said this. I didn't share it with Diane yet, even. It was this morning, but said, update on the old preacher. Still coughing some. The upper GI procedure proved I am not dealing with bronchitis any longer, but with acid reflux and a problem with inhalers and Eliquis. Of course, inhalers and Eliquis is the stuff that the doctors gave you. You know? So he's dealing with the stuff that the doctors gave him. And I don't want you to think I'm anti-doctors just because I am. But it kind of speaks for itself. Dealing with inhalers and Eliquis, also have suspected yeast infection. Surgeon sent a report to the pulmonologist, supposed to see him next week. No surgery at this time. The surgeon took some samples for biopsies. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all so much for your prayers. Brother King is still pastoring up there in Alaska. He's up in his 80s. He's continuing on. And he's an encouragement. You pray for him. And for his wife and the church there, those that are treating him. Our friend Jake Hebert, who I've known for many years, who we met many years ago while I was still in seminary, and he's out in Arizona. We got a report from him recently. He lost his wife the last year or two, and he seems to be doing pretty well. He had some procedures and had to have his pacemaker redone, and he thinks he's doing better. So pray for him. And by the grace of God, he continues on. Brother Floyd is always an encouragement. Brother Fulton, Brother Reynolds, and has a ministry and sending us out prayer requests. Brother Gurionov in Siberia, Russia, Brother Inyeti in Romania, our friend Oleg. I keep trying to learn how to say his name. Vyacheslavovich in Russia. Pray for those folks. They're in areas of conflict, and that the Lord keep his hand on them, guide them, and keep them safe, keep them true. We pray that for all of us. Our friends, the Stewarts in Washington, I dropped an email. I hadn't heard back, so maybe his email's not good anymore. I don't know. Young Glisk family. Pray for our brethren and friends with physical needs. We saw Dennis Connolly yesterday, and he made the effort, he and Sandy, to come out to the festival, and it was an effort for them, I know. But it was an encouragement to have them there, and I shared with him. I really appreciated him acting as our photographer, because without that, we probably wouldn't have had any photos for our debrief and for our blogs and such. Others that need our prayers and need God's healing, my son-in-law, my daughter. Pray for young Titus Massey, that has surgery on the 12th, and that will be before next week then. And he was born with cardiac issues, and he's had tubes and all, and just pray for him. Pray for that family. Others that we've been praying for, and we've asked for prayer, and I don't have updates on a lot of them, but just pray God's hand on those who need healing, who need comfort. Young Mallory Hall, who has we had, she had lymphoma, but then she had a cancerous mass removed from her abdomen, was it? And I mean, she's 11-year-old girl. Pray for her. Ernie Graham is Brother Hal's friend that he's taken back to the airport. Ernie's son, who's in his 20s, had a stroke on his way flying to Scotland for college classes there, and he seems to have improved, and I can't say totally recovered, but he's made it through that, and he's back in school. Pray for him and for these continuing issues that are going on. And I don't know, it's like people, what are they thinking? I saw that young 8-year-old boy in Israel. That 8-year-old boy, he did all these pro-vax commercials because his dad and his granddad are doctors. And he died of a heart attack in the bathtub. And I just pray the Lord keep his hand on his people and spare those that underwent those things. My friend Michael Goza, that had cardiac issues and mainly high blood pressure, I guess it is, but pray for him. Pray for Christians under persecution around the globe. We mentioned the unsettled situation in Eastern Europe. The Scripture tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, people differ on eschatology and their views concerning Israel, and I know my Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we ought to pray for those things. And I believe the Scriptures teach that the Lord's going to come back and rule and reign on a throne in Jerusalem. I have people differ about times or whatever. We sang that song this morning about the Lord's coming for His people. He is. And it says, God's wrath you'll not endure. But don't fool yourself. There's a lot of people that have this eschatology that we're just going to be pulled out of here and we're not going to have to experience anything. We're not going to experience troubles. We're not going to experience, I believe the Scriptures make clear, His people will not experience His wrath. Doesn't say we're not going to experience the wrath of the Antichrist, or we're not going to experience the wrath of evil governments. God's people have experienced that through history. Tell John the Baptist, well, you're not experiencing any wrath. They cut his head off. Tell his disciples, well, you won't experience any wrath. They didn't get raptured out. They got almost to a man executed by the civil governments. Brother, I think, and we see what's going on there in the Middle East, I don't know what it all is and what's going on, but troublous times are coming. And you better prepare for it. Don't say, well, I'm not going to be here. I hear people say that. Well, I'm not going to be here. Well, I hope not. I hope my eschatology's off, and the Lord's going to just pull me out of here. But I don't see that. And I think we need to prepare ourselves. And at the end of it all, God is going to take His people out before He pours out His wrath. God doesn't put His wrath on His people. But these folks that think you're going to get out 7 years out and not experience any of that stuff, I don't see it. And I think you say, well, you're wrong, preacher. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I tell you what, you better prepare for it. Because what if I'm right? You just better get your head in the game. And, I'm getting serious about things because things are getting serious. We ought to be more concerned about, we're saying, holy, holy, holy. God is holy. He says we're to be holy like He's holy. We're to be separated. We're to be apart. We're to be different. Okay, I'm preaching a whole other sermon. But, there you go. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And yeah, the Israeli government's just as rotten as ours. And their leaders are just as rotten as ours. And they're just as much messed up they have their own big old LGBTQ and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to punish that stuff too. Okay. But pray for them. Pray for that situation. And in spite of all, I do believe God has His people, and they are going to come to the land in belief eventually when Christ returns. They're in the land in unbelief now. Some Christians, I didn't mean to preach all this today, but some Christians have this idea, you know, that we should just support whatever Israel does because, no, they're just as corrupt as our government. But I tell you this, you don't want to be on the wrong side. You don't want to be persecuting and seeking to destroy Israel. You don't want to be Hamas and Hezbollah and those folks. But there's a reckoning coming. And I just want to stand aright and do aright and be aright. And I have a hard time figuring it all out sometimes. And I have to be honest with you. Pray the Lord give us wisdom and courage and guidance and strength in this day and age in which we live. That He might keep us true. And I know we all pray who know the Lord that He might bring our lost loved ones to Himself. And I don't know, sometimes, generally, not always, but generally that word lost is about the sheep. You know, it's the sheep that are lost. The goats are reprobates. But I don't know who the lost sheep are. And I pray the Lord might bring those lost sheep in, and I pray they might be our own family, our own friends, our own loved ones. Pray for folks seeking church homes. And I hear from folks quite often, and say, I'm in such an area, I'm in such an area. I'd like to find a church like yours. Well, they probably don't know enough about this church. They probably want something better, different than that. But anyway, they said, we want to find a church like yours. I don't usually have anything to tell them. I mean, where are the really faithful churches and men claim to be of like faith and practice? And I'm telling you, a lot of those churches, you could go and sit there for a year or two or three, and they would say they believe what we believe, but you'd never hear it. It's just what's convenient. Pray for those who seek faithful Christian mates. I know, hope you don't mind me saying, our young friend Reagan, you know, he's in a circumstance, he's of an age, he would like to find a good Christian wife, a faithful, dedicated. Where are they? God knows, there's as many as he intends, and the Lord, I think, has one for Reagan. And as I often say, it's better to be alone than it is with the wrong person. So, you know, rush off and, yeah, that's not the way to do it. I gotta get married. No, I bet you better not. Wait for the one the Lord has for you. And by that I mean in every sense. All fornication and other stuff going on, that's not of God. That's ungodly. Pray the Lord give us wisdom and courage and guidance. And yeah, I'm getting off today. Okay, that's the way it's going today. So, there you are. Sometimes I preach a whole sermon from my prayer list, but thankful for the friends the Lord's given us, near and far. Some of them I don't hear from, but every once in a while, the DuPonts down the road there. If we're not here, if I don't have my flags up, he'll send me an email or something to make sure we're okay. And they've got some boys with special needs and whatever, and I guess they want them to be some places where they're better met. But he says when the push comes and we're hunkering down, you know, they'll be here. And I understand, you know, his perspective. Pray for them. They travel around. They live at the end of the road, though he travels for work every week, and he's out of town. But I happened to see him one day there, and he stopped and talked to me. And that time when I was sick with the COVID stuff, or whatever it is, when I was sick with the flu and such as that, he contacted me and said, I wondered where you were. You didn't have your flags out this morning. Well, somebody's watching for us. I don't even know it. And it's like yesterday. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll eventually get down. Well, we had a booth at the Peanut Festival yesterday. And yes, it's for Free Florida First, but it's also for the church. I have an opportunity to speak to folks there. One young fellow that's been corresponding with me, and I've developed somewhat of a relationship with on Facebook and whatever from the things I post, and I sent out a notice that we were going to be at the Peanut Festival. I said, come out and see us and introduce yourself. He came up from Ocala, which is, you know, an hour or so away. He drove up to this festival just to meet us, just to say, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. Well, that's encouraging. It makes you think, maybe I should just keep on doing it. Or also makes me think the Lord won't let me quit anyway, even when I feel like it sometimes. But it's an encouragement. How many people we saw yesterday that were just excited to see us there? And as we talked about the world circumstances and about the situation that we live in and our culture and all those other things, it also would also come back to God. This young man, he said, you know, they're Christians. And he appreciated the fact that I'm a preacher and that they want to live right and do it right. And he had a young girl, so a young family. So pray for those. Pray for all of us. Say, well, that's your job, preacher. No, it's everybody's job. You know, we're all supposed to be doing that. They tell that old joke, and it popped in my head. But anyway, we're a church called a new preacher. And the first Sunday, he called on one of the men to pray. And the fellow said, preacher, that's what we hired you for. Well, no, that's not the way it works, you see. Anyway, the many friends the Lord's given us in Brazil and Colorado, Michigan, Brother Hoffman recently lost his wife, Brother Dreyfus, there in Ocala, that's up in years and can't drive anymore. Again, our friend Oleg in Russia that we've had a good relation, special relationship with, Brother Papadopoulos in the UK, the McQueens in Kentucky. Pray for the Gregory family, the younger and the elder, and that the Lord might put his hand on them, guide their paths, and meet their needs. And it's always good to have our friends with us, the Tenseis, Ramos is today. We appreciate you. And thank God for you. Pray for the Kraft family, our friend Truffle. We happened to see the Barber family yesterday, and they've had a couple new additions since we actually saw them. I don't know what they got, four now. Did I count right? They got four kids now, and I'm not sure if we even ever saw the younger two. Maybe just not the younger one, but he was there with his kids and with his mom, his wife, of course, and they're a blessing. They're seeking to live right and do right, and Donnie wants to stand right. And you know he's taken a stand on many things, and he's an encouragement. Pray for that family. My granddaughter, the Boone family, that are expecting a child, and pray that the Lord that child might grow up in a Christian home. Established on the faith. The Carpenters have been an encouragement for many years. We thank the Lord for their stand. Brother Howell's kids, pray for them. And the Glisk family, the Masseys, mentioned to Titus, the Rawsons, as they're seeking to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Diane's friends, the Thomas family. And pray for the Sheldons. Bonnie's with child. Her last child was 15 years ago, so it's kind of it's covering old ground, and she's not as young as she was then. Not saying she's old, but she's not as young as she was then. And she's been having some issues with blood pressure and such in her pregnancy, so pray for them. And pray for those that they're up in years. The other end of it all. It's all part of God's plan. We're going to be Lord, we're going to be young. We're going to get old if it's by His grace. We're going to get old, and we're going to come to the end unless He comes back, calls us home first, or comes back first. He'll call us home at some point. It's all part of God's plan. And I tell you, I don't understand. You know, this people so much, you know, kicking and screaming against it. I mean, yes, I think I've got a job to do. I love my family. I love my wife. I want to stay here and be used to the Lord as long as I can. But I'm not going to go to some kind of extreme measures to stay in this old world and, you know, to lay on a bed with a bunch of tubes and stuff running in me so I don't go home to the Lord. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I'm just preaching a whole passel of sermons today. But anyway, those are up in years. My mom is 91, going to be turn 91 exactly on the 11th. We went down there for her 90th birthday, and she's doing well. In fact, she's a blessing to my sister and my niece there. She takes care of the kids. 91 years old. And bless her. Brother Hal's aunt, who had been ill and evidently is doing better. Others that are up in years, our friends, the widows, Robert, Thomas, Fenton's, Brother Reagan's grandparents. Pray for them as they recently went to a retirement home. And time comes, you can't do much else, I suppose. I guess the time might come for me. But Lord knows. Lord knows. Pray for my cousin Linda Sullivan. Her son Rusty recently passed. He was relatively young. compared to me anyway, and had a wife and a daughter, a grown daughter, and just pray for them and Linda. And she's been a blessing for the many years that we've known her. Again, we're thankful for the Lord's blessing on the Peanut Festival yesterday. We met a lot of folks, and a lot of folks were encouraged to see us there. And, you know, it's like people say, some of them I'm walking around, and I say, well, I got a booth here too. You know, I was going around finding food to eat and whatever. And they say, well, who are you selling? I say, we're selling food. And so then I get a chance, opportunity to explain it to folks that, you know, we're seeking to stand in the old way, in the old paths, and ask for the old ways. We're seeking a restoration. I don't know that that's going to happen. I know it's not going to all, from the human perspective, just end all rosy. But the Lord knows that. That's in His providence, too. My God's on the throne. People get upset about things. Even some of our folks that were there with us was like, I just get so I don't know, you know, the way things are. I understand that fully. But you know what? My God is still on the throne. He's still working His perfect will. He's going to accomplish what He has decreed and determined. I don't know what it all is. I don't understand it all. And if I be truthfully honest, at least in the moment, I may not always enjoy it all. I don't even know what enjoyment means. But anyway, I can have joy in the Lord, and I can trust and rest in Him. I'm thankful for such a God. Again, pray for Brother Hal as he's traveling this weekend, taking his friend to the airport. And thankful my daughter and one of my granddaughters went down and visited in South Florida where my mom and sister are. And they had a safe journey there and back. We're thankful for that. Brother, we can be thankful that we serve a sovereign God, that He rules and reigns in the affairs of men. He's been pleased to leave us His preserved word. Well, I'll preach another little sermonette too. So there I am at the Peanut Festival, and there's almost always the Gideons there, you know. And they went giving out little testaments. I've probably got some of those old little testaments maybe up there in the back. They're giving out these little testaments of, new Bibles, supposedly. Well, of recent years, they've not been really giving out the Bible. They've been giving out English Standard Versions, which are an approximation of the Bible. They've been giving out all these other things. Brother, the King James Bible is God's word preserved in the English language. Now, there's other languages, but I want you to understand this. It's God's word preserved in the English language in a sense that cannot be said of any other Bible. And the reason I say that, because the texts that are behind it. That's what this lady, she was confused. You know, she's there with the Gideons. I guess maybe she's done this for years, and she just assumes they're giving out King James. And I said, you're not, we're giving out these New Testaments. I said, those aren't New Testaments. She said, yeah, they are. I said, no, they're not. I said, let me look at it. So I said, this is not King James. She said, oh, yeah, it is. And I said, let's go to 1 John 5:7. Well, the verse is about half as long as it should be. And it impinges upon the Trinity. You know why? Because they followed the texts that were preserved by the Catholic Church. You know, Rome says, well, you should be thankful for us because we preserved the Bible. You know what? They preserved the perverted texts. And they destroyed the other texts to the extent that they could. And they destroyed the men that were preserving those texts. I saw this last week. I think it was the anniversary of the burning of William Tyndale, because he dared to translate the Bible into the common tongue. He defied the Pope. And now the Catholics claim that it was never like that. Well, somehow William Tyndale got burnt at the stake for translating the Bible into English. And he said if the Lord preserved him and he could do that, time would come when the boy at the handles of the plow would know more scripture than the Pope. Well, that probably doesn't take a lot, but he did. God's preserved his word. He's given it to us today. We can hold it in our hand. The texts that are behind the King James, the Textus Receptus, the Masoretic text. That God preserved these. And I'm disturbed. You say, yeah, preacher, we know you're disturbed. No, I'm disturbed when I see people that claim to believe like we do starting to veer from these things. And I think some of them aren't even thinking about it. They're just kind of drawn away. I'm not saying all these people got caught up in the COVID stuff and all that they're evil. Even this young boy who died, one article I read made the point of, you know, his dad and his granddad weren't deceiving people. They weren't evil people necessarily. They obviously didn't think this stuff was going to harm somebody, or they wouldn't give it to their own kin. But that the Lord might open eyes. It's to these things. I don't think it was Tyndale, but somebody else that ran afoul of the system. It was Knox, I think, prayed that God would open the eyes of the King of England because he was being persecuted for preaching the truth. He said, well, that was way back then. You wait. It's a coming. You watch what's going on. It's a coming. And by God's grace that we may stand. But God's preserved his word. And I see people that claim to believe like I do, and they start embracing unthinkingly this modern so-called scholarship. You know, I went to seminary. I knew what the modern scholarship said. And I knew it was a bunch of junk. I've got a lot of the books up there. I've got the old Greek text that they made up from Rome's preserved text. Here's the point. I see more and more, and I've seen it several instances of recent days, recent weeks. I don't know why. But here are people who claim to believe like us. Instead of speaking of God as our Bibles speak of Him, as speaking of Jehovah, now they went to calling him Yahweh. And it's like, who is this Yahweh? And yet, that sort of modern disbelief was on the scene a while back. Folks like our Baptist forebears, folks like John Gill, John Owen, many of these others, they knew of that scholarship. They knew of this things that people were claiming. That they knew better than what the Bible said. They knew better than the King James translators. And that we shouldn't be calling Jehovah Jehovah. We should be calling him Yahweh. Or that we should be calling Jesus Yeshua. But you see, what that implies is that the texts that God preserved are not inerrant. That they're not to be believed. They're not to be embraced. Because the texts that God preserved, the Masoretic texts, specifically as concerning God. Of course, there's different letters. And it would be maybe Jehovah if you want. But it's Jehovah. In English, it's Jehovah. And if you count the... I didn't mean to preach this sermon. But if you count the vowels, you know, Jehovah. You know, Jehovah. You know, there's three syllables. There's three vowels. This modern thing says Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. There's two syllables. There's two vowels. Now, if I go to the Masoretic text, which I believe God preserved. And I look at the vowels there, and folks say, well, the vowel points were added later. They were added by the Masoretes who knew what the original vowels were. That's what John Gill holds to. That's what our Baptist forebears many held to. They weren't all scholars, you know, but those who were. So it's entirely different. It's not like you're just saying it different, or folks say, well, it's just an update. No, it's not. Yahweh, Jehovah. They said, well, it should be different. It should be different vowels. See, we shouldn't accept the Masoretic text, we should add some new vowels. Thing is, if it's not Jehovah, we don't know what it is. They just made up that Yahweh thing. They say, well, it shouldn't be that, but it should probably be Yahweh. And if I'm getting too far afield, well, that's what I did today. We need to stand in the old paths, ask for the old ways. More and more as time's coming. We have to be prepared to do those things. We have a God that's preserved His Word. We can hold it in our hand. And folks say, well, you're too narrow. You're not modern enough. You're not with it. No, I'm not. And I don't intend to get that way. No, I don't. God's spoken and His Word's true, and I think we need to receive it. We need to study. We don't need to correct it. We don't need to rewrite it. We don't need to update. We need to study it and receive it. I'm not saying like some folks say, oh, you believe that God just dropped down a King James Bible to Paul, and then, no, I understand what the progress was, but there was a progress. There was a stream of true text that culminated in what we have today in the English language is the King James Bible. And there are other Bibles in other languages that are from the preserved texts, the preserved Greek, Textus Receptus, the preserved Hebrew, the Masoretic texts. But those modern versions that are from all these other things, and even those old versions, these modern versions, pretty much take the Masoretic text because that's pretty much what there is. They didn't have an opportunity to mess with that too much. You know, the old scribes and whatever were very careful in those things. They counted not only words, they would go back and count letters and make sure that what they were transcribing. We got in the modern era with the modern church, modern churchianity, and folks began to do all kind of perversion to God's Word, and Paul warns us about that during his lifetime for those that are perverting the Word of God. We need to stand. By God's grace, I intend to stand as long as He allows me to. Okay, well, on that note, I guess I'll go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody got anything else you'd like to add or elaborate upon? Okay, our brother Hal usually prays for us, congregational prayer, and I don't know that I'm up to his standards, but we'll do the best we can. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for each one that's here. Lord, we know there's no accident that they're here. There's no accident if someone happens to listen in to this service later, either on Facebook or on our webpage. Lord, there were no accident with the folks we met yesterday. Lord, with those people You've brought into our lives. We may not be able to discern it all, or tie it all together, or understand it all. But Lord, we know it all comes from Thee. We know, Lord, that for those that are truly Yours, all things work together for good. Lord, we thank You for that wonderful truth, that we can rest in Your sovereignty. Lord, we mentioned many this morning. We pray Your hand on them, our brethren around the world. Father, You know our hearts and our thoughts, and we've already expressed them. But, Lord, I mention in particular again our brother Leon King in Willow, Alaska. Encouragement he's been through the years, Lord, as he's up in years and still seeks to continue on and to serve Thee, to minister to God's people. Our friend Jake Hebert, Lord, many of the other brethren, many that are young, Brother Green up in Georgia that's had some health issues as well, that is a young man and whom He allowed us to meet and correspond with when he was yet a teenager. now pastoring one of your churches and has a family and children, some that are grown. Father, we just pray your hand on these people, your servants, these difficult times in which we live. Father, all of your people, give us wisdom as we go about our daily tasks and our daily duties to be who and what you would have us to be, to stand aright. Lord, we thank you for the folks you've brought into our life here in your church, Lord, in Free Florida First, and those you allow us to minister to. Lord, for the folks you allowed us to meet and minister to yesterday at the festival and the encouragement that they were to us. Father, we pray that we might be encouragements to others as we live our lives. Lord, we pray for our own families. Many that know you not, that walk not with thee. Father, we don't know who your lost sheep are. We don't know who the elect are, but we're thankful that you do. Scriptures make abundantly clear, you know those that are yours. Father, we pray that you might bring those that are yours to yourself, and we pray, Lord, that our loved ones, our friends and family might be found amongst them. But above all, Lord, we pray that your will be done. Lord, I think of young Titus Massey that will be undergoing cardiac surgery this week. Lord, yet just months old, and had a life that we would consider to be one of struggling, difficulty, and yet, as we've seen his pictures, he's a young man that seems to be full of joy. Father, we pray that you might be pleased to honor that this surgery might prove successful, that he might grow to be a servant of use to thee. Lord, for many of the other folks that need healing and comfort, young Mallory Hall, or the young folk that suffer from illness and disease, and the other older folk that suffer from such as well. Father, that you might undertake, that you might glorify yourself in these things. And we know, Lord, that all things come from your loving hand to your people. Father, we thank you for the folks that you've allowed us to meet, spread across the globe, some that are in areas of conflict and difficulty. Brother Gurionov, Brother Nyeti, our friend Oleg that are in Eastern Europe and the confusion and conflict that's taking place there. Lord, give them strength, courage, and wisdom. Lord, help us to stand aright and to do aright and to hold aright. Father, we're told in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Doesn't appear to be any there right now. But Lord, we know that you're doing. And we know that there'll not be true peace in Jerusalem or in the world until the Prince of Peace arrives. We can say, Lord, with your Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, in whatever time it may be before that occurs, I pray that you give us all grace to stand, to not compromise, to speak your truth, to not waver. Oh, we just pray for your grace and those many things. Lord, we think of young families. We thank you yesterday. We We're able to see the Barbers again, many of the other young families that we know that are seeking to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Father, as we look at this sin-cursed world about us, as it waxes worse and worse, we have concern for our children and our grandchildren. And yet, Lord, we understand that You're raising them up for a time such as this. That You're raising up Your people to stand and to be a witness and testimony. Lord, so often it's just to be a witness and a testimony against the evil and the darkness that surrounds. We may not see what we would count success in this life, but we know true success is standing and living, walking in accordance with Your word and Your way. Lord, give us grace to do that. Lord, be with all those that are with child. I think of Bonnie Sheldon, my granddaughter, others in our family that, Lord, need to establish Christian homes and walk right. Father, we know that You can accomplish, that You can bring about what we can't. We pray You might be pleased to do that. Lord, we pray for those that are up in years suffering afflictions, that You might continue to use them, that You might give them grace to rest in Your sovereignty, in Your will, in Your way. Lord, we mentioned, we thank You for Your preserved word, Lord, for all that You provide for Your people, for Your hand upon Your people. And Lord, we pray for our brother Hal as he's away from us today and traveling, that You keep him safe, You bring him back to us. We pray for his friend that's with him, Ernie. Lord, his son, Robbie, young man that suffered a stroke. Father, You might be pleased to raise him up and restore him. Lord, You might give us all discernment and understanding. Lord, at the bottom line, all these things we need, we pray for, we desire to see folks walk right, but what they really need is to be born again. Father, we pray that You might work in lives and hearts, that You might bring those that are Yours to Yourself. And we'll praise You for it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a quote the other day from Bodhi Bocamp. Hope I say his name right. But he's a big black Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher. And he said something that, you know, people should dwell on. Says, you know, you're not born again because you ask to be. Says, you can't do that because you're dead. God has to do it. Well, we have nothing to be proud of, but we have something to glory in is our God. What we are by the grace of God. We were all God's elect. We don't know who they are, but because of the relationship to Adam, they're born just as dead in trespasses and sin as all the rest of the world. But He knows those that are His, and He will draw them to Himself. You know what? I'm not going to get with my sermon today, but I'm going to continue on. And we'll, I guess I already had my sermon, didn't I? I hope you feel that way, but I didn't intend to go all that way. But we'll continue on with our singing and our closing prayer, and it's already noon already. How did that happen? I guess it's because, number four, God moves in a mysterious way. And you say, well, that has to do with you, preacher. That's probably true. God moves in a mysterious way. Number four. If you like, you can stand as we sing that out. God moves in a mysterious way. It's not for ours to know. It's ours to obey.
God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep on
I'm railing today. I'll try to get normal again next week, but I ain't promising nothing. But these modern churches, even some churches that claim to be like that, and they got up here, they're singing all this bebop stuff, and they got, you know, new words somebody made up flashing up on the screen. If you look at that song we just sang, those folks were both long dead before any of us were born. And I kind of think they knew a little bit more than most of the folks we know today. And there's a reason for that. And we ought to seek to be careful and theologically correct in the things we sing as well. God works in a mysterious way. Okay, on that note, I'm going to go ahead and sing at you, I guess. You were hoping I went so long that you wouldn't have to listen to me sing, but I'm still going to sing. And then remember the first time I heard this song? I wasn't quite as old as I am now, but it still made an old guy cry. And we were up at Bryan Station, and the family sang this song. And I don't think I ever really found it in music anywhere. I had to try and transcribe it from a tape that we bought from them. And then I changed some of the words, and I think I made up a verse or two. I can't remember now. But, I know I made up at least one verse. I don't know if I made it better or worse, but I made it more mine, I guess. The Lord knows those that are His, and the Lord's the one that gets to choose. Now, all this stuff going on in Israel now, I see a lot of folks, you know what, they don't like the Jews, they don't like Israel, because God chose a physical people, and it wasn't them. And then all these folks, the British Israelism and these sort of things that people came up with, it's like, well, if somebody's Israelites, it's got to be us because we're better than everybody else. Well, God chose the Israelites not because they were better than everybody else. If you read it, He chose them because they weren't better than everybody else. And sometimes we maybe notice that, but people notice that about us too. And God, within His elect, chose a bride. And that bride consists of his true churches. That whole, the whole ministry of John, baptism and what, those were important things. And they attest to us, you know, our relationship to him. It's not what makes that relationship, but it manifests it. And the time's coming when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a wedding. And it's going to involve his churches. And they'll eternally be his bride. There's the family of God. There's the Old Testament saints. There's saints in this day that are in religious societies that aren't churches. They're born again, as far as I can tell, and many of them evidence it. But a true church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. And if it ain't that, it ain't church. Folks say, well, they're all his churches. Explain this to me. How the Lord is that schizophrenic? Things that aren't the same are not the same. The Lord gets that. And I'm not saying his churches are perfect. Far from it. But they are different. And this music talks about him coming back and taking his bride. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. As a heavenly preparation for wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? The groom is preparing for the wedding. God's family is invited to attend. The bride is getting ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom calls his beloved, come on in. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's a heavenly preparation for wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? We'll leave this land of sin and sorrow. We'll meet the blessed Redeemer in the air. We'll bow in adoration before our gracious Savior. Has he chosen you, my friend? Will you be there? Is that wedding music hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's a heavenly preparation for wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Many today deny her beauty. She's despised, ignored, and little known. But she's betrothed to Jesus and will be His bride eternal. Soon she'll meet Him in her spotless wedding gown. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's a heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music? Is that wedding music? Is that wedding music that I hear? And here comes the groom. Jewish wedding tradition, the groom would come and get the bride. It wasn't like, here comes the bride. It was like, here comes the groom. And he's coming. Okay. I think I've said enough today. So I guess we'll take our hymnals and we'll sing a closing hymn. Number 47. And, we live in troubled times. Middle East, Eastern Europe, here in the not so good old USA, a shelter in the time of storm. Amen to that. Number 47. If you like, you can stand as we sing out number 47, a shelter in the time of storm.
Our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
thank you that you're the God you are. Father, though we may like it, if you would just keep us out of the storms, you don't promise that. But you do promise that you'll be a shelter in the storm. Lord, that you'll deliver your people. Lord, sometimes you deliver us from death. And Lord, surely as we read the scriptures, there are times that you deliver us by death. But Lord, you deliver your people. Father, we thank you for that great truth. We thank you for the assurance that we have in Christ, for his completed work, for his atonement, for his people, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, for the truths that are revealed in your preserved word. Father, no, we can't comprehend it all. We thank you that you've made us the recipients of your grace. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for one another, for your church. Lord, we pray for our brother Hal as he's away from us today. Pray your hand on him. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to serve thee. Lord, we pray that in these stormy times in which we live, that you might keep us faithful. Oh, we may not see success as the world would count it. We may not see deliverance as the world would count it. But Lord, we know that success is serving thee, and that you will deliver your people. So Lord, be with us as we go forth. Use us to your glory. Help us to stand. Thank you for our Savior and his all-sufficient, complete atonement for his people. And we pray in his name. Amen.